Well, good morning and welcome into you, those here in the auditorium, those at home. Nehemiah chapter 3, go ahead and turn there if you have your Bible. We'll have verses on the screen. We have a lot of text to cover this morning, so we won't read right through this. But if you have a Bible, go look there. And again, we'll have these verses. Snow people, you're happy, right? None of you are snow people. Okay, well, the snow people are happy. We know that. And Pastor Brent kind of alluded to your driveway and how it looks this morning and how involved you were in taking care of the snow in your driveway. How many of you, incidentally, how many of you, someone plows your driveway for you, like a truck? Yeah, raise your hands. We want to call you out, all right? None of us like you, right? Or you have your own plow, right? Like, it must be nice to be rich. Because that person, all they work, you know, if you're driving that truck, like, your biggest problem plowing snow is like the XM satellite radio went out, right? Or if you're watching the person plowing, it's like, oh, I burnt my tongue on my coffee, right? Only a little better than those people are the snowblower people. How many of you are the snowblower? Now you're like, I'm not raising my hand. Oh, good, great, good. So we're going to call you out too. I mean, at least you're walking, right? So, but you know, it's still like, man, it must be nice to have that machine do that work for you. I mean, there's another category of like, let nature take its course, right? Like some of you haven't shoveled your driveway since you've owned or rented a property, right? And you're the ones who your Christmas lights are still up. You're like, it'll be spring again. And it'll be Christmas again. So you just leave it alone. There's one more category. That's the category I'm in. It's all the people who love God. And we shovel our driveway. How many of us, right? Yes, be proud. I'm not calling you out. You take something out of the offering today, okay? Excellent, if you shovel your snow. Because that's real work, isn't it? Like when you shovel your snow, man, it's like, I feel like when I go out there to shovel my snow and JoLynn watches me go, she realizes there's a chance at my age and in my shape, I may not come back without a serious injury at least. You know, hope the life insurance is paid up. And it's all in when you shovel snow with a shovel, isn't it? I mean, you like, you're sweating and you know, you're soaking wet from the snow on you. I mean, it's all in. It really is. And in some ways, this morning, the chapter that we're in, especially, we're going to be in 3 and 4, but Nehemiah chapter 3 especially is kind of like that. It's an all-in chapter. And in many ways, the whole book of Nehemiah is like that. There's a sense in which all-in describes where we've arrived in this book. And the unfinished initiative, as we've talked about it in these past weeks, is an all-in proposition. It is for us. It was for Nehemiah. And in our refresh to this unfinished initiative, we've been looking through the lens of Nehemiah to kind of tell the unfinished story, right? We want to do that today as we kind of wrap this up. In chapter 1, we answered the question, what do we set out to do? And that was kind of a chapter where, if you haven't been here, Nehemiah gave a vision in a prayerful appeal to God. And then in chapter 2, we looked at what God had already done and how he had gone before Nehemiah. And so Nehemiah's prayer on the back end of that was, now God, strengthen my hands. Remember that? We talked about praying and planning because of all that God had done for Nehemiah. Now Nehemiah says, God, help me move in that. And then last Sunday, Pastor Brent answered the question, kind of, where are we going? Where are we going? And as Nehemiah follows through there in chapter 2, we see he's in Jerusalem, the second part from last Sunday's sermon, and he rallies the people to build despite being mocked. He's trusting God and working in the success that he believes God had promised the people. Remember in chapter 1, he prays for success. End of chapter 2, he's living in that success. Thank you, God. We believe you've given us success. And in that, there's this all-in appeal to his unfinished vision. And so it is for us, Keystone. Unfinished is an all-in kind of proposition. Well, today, out of the context of chapters 3 and 4, we're going to ask ourselves this question as we come to kind of the end of this Commitment Sunday. What is my role? What is my role? We have a role. Keystone, obviously, our role is in what does God have for the vision of this church through Unfinished, but then for us personally, Matt Fry, for me, Joe Lynn Fry, for my wife and me, God has a personal call out of Unfinished. What is my role? What is our role? The Unfinished Initiative, all in proposition. We're going to consider our role today. I love how chapter 4, verse 6, take a look at that verse. It's on the screen. For the people, this is what it says about the people that Nehemiah had rallied to build the wall. The people had the will to keep working. Isn't that a great statement? May that be said of Keystone. One translation says, the people were enthusiastic in their work. The people had a heart to work. Man, I pray that's what can be said about us in the Unfinished Initiative, in all that we do, that before God, we have a heart to work. That's the heart I want to have, the heart God wants for us. So it's Unfinished Refresh Commitment Sunday, and we want to look at four realities as we think about the question, what is my role? All right, really, we're going to look at four uns in the Unfinished Initiative. Four uns. So follow along here. What do you see in 3 and 4? And again, a lot of text, we'll read out of it. Sometimes when we come to this initiative, we feel unprepared. Unfinished for me, I've been, the things we're going to look at, I feel like Jolynn and I have been in all of these situations. We felt all of these emotions along the way with Unfinished. And many times when God calls me to do something, I go through these kinds of emotions we're going to look at. I wonder, when was the last time you felt unprepared for something God called you to do? That happens often, doesn't it? Like, God, you're calling me to do what? And maybe Unfinished has been like that for you. Well, I feel unprepared. Listen, if we learn anything from chapter 3 in Nehemiah, we learn this. Unfinished is about us, but it's about me, right? Unfinished is about Keystone, but it's also about the Fries. Put your name there. Unfinished is about Keystone, but it's also about you. God is calling us in the midst of our unpreparedness. Unfinished is about us. It's about me. Let's take a look at the text. 3:1, the high priest. By the way, there's a lot of hard and unique names. So if you're having a child and you're like, I want a unique name, man, this is your Sunday, all right? Pick one. But I'm not going to pronounce any of these well, so pray for me. 3:1, the high priest Eliashib and his fellow priests began rebuilding the sheep gate. Let's hear it for the pastors doing something constructive. They dedicated it and installed its doors after building the wall to the Tower of the Hundred and the Tower of Hananel. They dedicated it. So Unfinished is about people who are unprepared, like the priests. They're not builders, and yet they build. It's about us. 3:5, besides them, the Tekoites made repairs. These are people from a city of Tekoa. The Tekoites, they came to build. 3:12, love this one. 3:12, beside him, Shalom, son of Halohesh, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. Look at this. He and his daughters. Come on, girls. Right? So, excellent. So, Shalom, son of Halohesh. He sounds like a prominent individual, but he has daughters who are capable. And he says, listen, I know maybe you aren't prepared for this, girls, but here we go. We're going to build together. Man, The Unfinished Initiative is for people who are not necessarily prepared to build, but it's about us. And Nehemiah calls them out of their unpreparedness. It's about us. It's about me. It's about me, even though maybe I feel unprepared. I love what it says in verse 8 of chapter 3. It talks about these guys. Notice verse 8. After him, Uzziel, the son of Harahiah, the goldsmith, made repairs. And next to him, Hananiah, son of the perfumers, made repairs. Pastor Brent said, that's an essential oils person. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. I solder jewelry for a living, but I'm rebuilding the wall. I'm the son of a perfumer. Some translations say that these guys were part of a goldsmiths and perfumers guild, local 120 perfumers. Show up to build. What do I know about building, man? I make scents. I solder jewelry. I'm not prepared for this. Nehemiah says it was all in. We didn't feel prepared. But you see, unfinished is an initiative about us. And it's an initiative about me. I love what one writer says at the end of this to summarize chapter 3. He says, the project continued with many individuals undertaking tasks very different from their day jobs. Don't quit your day job. In some ways, Nehemiah's like, quit your day job. I need you to build. I know you're a goldsmith. I know your dad was a perfumer, but I need you. I need your daughters. They can build. It's amazing how in their unpreparedness, Nehemiah calls to them and says, we're all in. Unfinished is an initiative for us. It's an initiative for me. I love this chapter. It includes names of people who go down in history in the record of sacred scripture as people who were there and showed up even though they weren't prepared. Dude, I thought you made perfume. I know, but I'm building now. You should see my daughters, how well they work. In their unpreparedness, it's a story about us. It's a story about me. From priests to temple servants to goldsmiths to perfumers, the men of Jericho to the daughters of Shalom, God stirred the hearts of people who contributed even though they felt unprepared. And maybe unfinished has made you feel like that, unprepared. I know one thing, several years back when Jolynn and I came to Keystone from where we were in our church serving there, one of the things we were looking forward to leaving behind was a building initiative. And we had literally written some of the last checks that we were going to make to that initiative. And so it was coming with the thought with this thought of some margin, you know, kind of getting out of a building initiative. And then we came here and realized, wow, God's calling Keystone to a great work. And so it was this, wow, wasn't really prepared for that. How many times has God called you to something and you felt unprepared? Very often. And maybe specifically for you, for me, unfinished has been that kind of initiative. God, I don't feel prepared. I love how Nehemiah rallies people who weren't necessarily prepared. All in, it's an initiative for us, it's for me. God stirred the hearts of people who contributed even though they felt unprepared. Underestimated, that's the next word. And again, we're skipping through this text, but if you want something interesting devotionally, read through Nehemiah chapter 3. You can trace the lineage, the ancestry of some of these people, find out really specific things about them. It's an amazing chapter of the Bible. But in the list of workers, there's some who were able to do more. Look at chapter 3, verse 4, and then verse 21. So verse 4, next to them, Mirmoth, one of my favorite names, Mirmoth, son of Uriah, son of Hakoz, made repairs. Jump over now to verse 21. Beside him, there's our guy again. I mean, how many Mirmoths can there be? Beside him, Mirmoth, son of Uriah, son of Hakoz, made repairs to another section. Let's look at the Tekoites again. Verse 5. Beside them, the Tekoites made repairs. Stop there. Verse 27. Jump over there. Next to him, the Tekoites made repairs to another section from a point opposite the great tower that juts out as far as the wall of Ophel. There were some who were underestimated. They came and they were able to do more. Maybe they felt unprepared and thought, well, I'll build this section. And the fact of the matter is they brought with them a desire to work and they were able to do more, so they built another section. Sometimes God calls us out of our unpreparedness. Sometimes we underestimate what we're able to do. I can do more. I can do more. Friends, that is a general gospel statement that we make in any situation, is it not? Keystone Keystone is about moreness. We're not about lessness. Keystone Church, we want to do less. Doesn't sound right. Because it's not right. Because our gospel is a gospel of more. And so we are constantly asking God, how can I give more? How can I pray more? How can I be more? God, how can we do more? It's not less, let's make room for more people. We are all about moreness because the gospel is about moreness because God is a God of more. That's what he was in Jesus Christ at the cross. Think with me, and this verse is on the screen for us. Think with me to 2 Corinthians 8:9, where Paul is wrestling with what's a good metaphor to describe that God has done more for us. I know, riches. So he says it like this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became, for your sake, he became poor so that by his poverty you might become rich. Because God is a God of more. And so he gives to us in our weakness and in our less. And so here's a general gospel statement that if you follow Jesus Christ, should be part of your life. I can do more, just generally, because that's the good news of Jesus. But the thing is, and what strikes me from this story is this, sometimes it's a specific statement that we make in certain situations. And the fact of the matter is some of us come to unfinished the first time, or some of us come back to unfinished a year later and we say, by the mercy and grace of God and how he's blessed me, I can do more. I'm with the Tekoites, man. I can work on another section. I didn't think I'd be able to build at all, but I underestimated what God wanted to do in my life. And so now I can build more. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's me in some way that God is calling. And unfinished becomes this vehicle for us to say, God, with this vision, I want to do more. I can do more. Maybe you're underestimating what God wants to do. The all-in reality of unfinished means there are some Mirmoths among us, some Macalgias and Hashubs and Tekoites, some who can do more. Unwilling, uninvolved, maybe. Maybe you're here and you're on that spectrum. I've certainly wrestled with that in my life, whether it's unfinished or any initiative. God, I'm not really willing. You ever say that to God? I've said that to God. God, I don't want to get involved in that. I just don't. Maybe that's where you are today in this initiative called Unfinished at Keystone. Maybe there's an unwillingness or just a level of, I don't want to be involved in that. I wonder if you're here and that's your heart. Notice with me what the text draws out in only one place and why Nehemiah chooses to lift this out, I don't know. But he says in verse 5, the Tekoites again, he said they made repairs. But look at the second part of 3 verse 5. But their nobles did not lift a finger to help their supervisors. There it is. They're not just uninvolved, they're unwilling. It's interesting. It was pride that kept them from their work. The Hebrew there is the idea of this. They did not bring their neck. They did not bring their neck. And in the imagery of agriculture, it's describing a stiff-necked ox who refused to be yoked. And you're like, I was struggling with that just last week. No, we weren't. I don't have an ox. But I understand the idea, right? It's the ox who doesn't want to be yoked and it's stiff-necked. And so these nobles of the city of Tekoa came and said, we're not getting involved in this. And in their pride, they said to God, we're unwilling. And so for whatever reason, Nehemiah lists them out because there were plenty of nobles who were contributing. But for some reason, these nobles were among those who were unwilling and uninvolved. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's convicting for you. God certainly has convicted in my life in times I've been like that. Two questions I think that we ask ourselves in those moments. What do I believe God is saying to me if my heart is unwilling? And then what do I believe God is saying to me if my heart is uninvolved? Listen, when my heart becomes unwilling or my heart becomes uninvolved, I'm at my best when I bow before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? And I surround myself with people who are helping me ask the question, God, I feel unwilling. God, I feel uninvolved. So God brings people into my life who will challenge me and say, what is the condition of your heart, Matt? In your unwillingness, in your uninvolvement. I don't know where that falls on your ears this morning. It's interesting to me to think about the boy king years prior in the Old Testament, Josiah. Remember him at the end of 2 Chronicles there, the end of 2 Kings. He's this young man who ascends to the throne at 7 years old, and he's surrounded by godly counsel. And as he grows into adulthood and puts on the mantle of his kingdom and makes incredible changes to the glory of God, it says this about him. He says, God used him and blessed him because his heart was tender and he humbled himself before the Lord. I have to tell you something. In my unwillingness and my uninvolvement, it's the times when my heart is hardened before God very often. And God has to come to me and God has to say through someone else, through the power of his word, through prayer, Matt, your heart is not tender. I wonder, does God want to do a humbling work in your life? Does God want to take your heart and make it tender? And man, unfinished is just a vehicle for that. It's a vehicle for us to look into our lives and say, is there tenderness there? So I don't care if it's unfinished. I don't care what it is in your life. Where is God working in your heart? And maybe you're saying, I'm unwilling or I'm uninvolved. And God wants to get a hold of your heart. He wants to get a hold of my heart and make it tender and humble me. Whether unwilling or uninvolved, Lord, make my heart tender as I humble myself before you. What a great prayer. All in assumes some things. It assumes I'm willing and I'm involved. Moving into chapter 4, unafraid. That's the last thing, unafraid. 4:1, back to our villains. Remember these guys, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious. He mocked the Jews before his colleagues and the powerful men of Samaria and said, what are these pathetic Jews doing? Can they restore it by themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they ever finish it? Can they bring these burnt stones back to life from the mounds of rubble? Then Tobiah the Ammonite, who was beside him, said, indeed, even if a fox climbed up what they are building, he would break down their stone wall. Aren't you hilarious? In the face of continued persecution and challenge, the fact of the matter is the people of God and Nehemiah are unafraid. And here's something we come to understand through the process of Nehemiah's unfinished initiative or our unfinished initiative. The threat of challenges don't get easier, right? Do you remember in our series here in Nehemiah, each week we've ended talking about these guys, Sanballat, Tobiah, and then Geshem to a lesser degree. And it's interesting because in chapter 1, it says they were displeased. Or chapter 2, beginning of chapter 2. At the end of chapter 2, it says they went from being displeased to mocking and despising. And here we are in chapter 4, and if you look at verse 8, it says they went to plotting and fighting. It's very interesting because it's like the life of Jesus and his enemies, right? They went from displeasure to mocking to saying, we're going to kill you. You ever feel like that and something God has called you to, some initiative in your life? Something God wants you to do, and you're like, one of the reasons I'm uninvolved is because I'm afraid. Here's what we know, whether it's unfinished or anything God calls us to, very often the challenges and the persecution are not going to get easier. Who would have imagined at Commitment Sunday around a year ago that 2020 would turn the world upside down? Unafraid. And the answer that Nehemiah gives us in chapter 4 of how to be unafraid is keep praying, keep planning. In verses 9 and verses 13 and 14, he takes us back to prayer. God, you have to do this work. Oh my God, bless the work of my hands. Unafraid, keep praying, keep planning. And then it's the vision that compels us. The end of the story, as we want to look at, is in verse 18. There's a lot going on in verses 18 through 21. Notice what it says. Here they are building the wall. Each of the builders had his sword strapped around his waist while he was building, and the trumpeter was beside me. They had a guy playing the trumpet. I love it. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and to the rest of the people, the work is enormous and spread out, and we are separated far from one another along the wall. Nehemiah says, wherever you hear the trumpet sound, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we continued the work while half the men were holding spears from daybreak until the stars came out. Unafraid, but man, there's a lot going on there. There's guys who are perfumers and they got a sword on one thigh and a trowel strapped to the other thigh. They're trying to get the cement dry. The trumpet sounds, they got to go kill somebody. What's going on here? God, this is not what I signed up for. It's easy to fear. And yet the people are unafraid. I wonder, is there a lot going on in your life? Maybe you work for a big company and it's complicated right now. Maybe you're running a small company. Maybe you're running a family that feels like a small company with those babies or those toddlers or those adolescents. Maybe you're trying to keep peace with all those roommates. And sometimes it's like, God, I feel like I have a trowel strapped on one leg and a spear strapped on the other leg, and I don't know if I'm going to get killed from behind. There's a lot going on. In the midst of that, what does Nehemiah say? Pray and plan, and don't forget the vision that God has called us to. Don't be afraid. Keep praying. Keep planning. Which brings us full circle to Nehemiah's words. The people had the will to keep working. Brothers and sisters at Keystone, may that be said of us corporately and personally. Though we feel unprepared, may some of us be underestimated for what we can do to the glory of God. We can do more. May we be unafraid. The unfinished initiative is an all-in proposition. I want to frame this for us by way of a story. I want to show you this at work in someone's life who I had the opportunity to sit down with a couple weeks back and have lunch, and providentially, his story is just a remarkable statement of what God can do, even though we feel unprepared, to make us unafraid, to be part of unfinished, this all-in proposition. Watch this.